G-I-Z-M-O-S-A-P-I-E-N-S.
Coming to you from the heart of it all, it's Gizmo Sapiens, an entertainment and technology podcast.
Oh, and welcome to Gizmo Sapiens. This is show number two. We're in the studio today with Chris. Myself, I'm Vince, and we have another Gizmo Sapien today, and that's Molly. I have an interesting show on tap for you today. Chris is going to discuss his experience with the new iMac. We're going to be talking about television and other media. Got some music news for you, and reviews of movies. So stand by for Gizmo Sapien number two.
What's Talking Tech?
All right, if you were with us last time during Gizmo Sapiens number one, you know that Chris was really excited about the fact that he was getting a brand new Intel-based iMac. And Chris, I understand you got the machine in. How was the experience for you?
It could have been better. The machine is great. Apple's probably at 99.9%. There's still that 0.01% of technology that needs to be tweaked to make sure that it's exactly the same experience on the new Intel Core Duo Macintosh machines as opposed to the old G5 and G4 models. But it's been great. All the applications work. The speed is definitely there. The claims that Apple has made to say 2x the speed. It may not be 2x, but it's an exponential improvement over the iMac G5 at the same speed. But the thing that was bad about my experience is I got this as in exchange for my Apple developer box that I had agreed to return to Apple, and Apple's graciously giving me a new box that is mine to keep forever in replacement. But the first box I got, after waiting 2 weeks, perfect box on the outside. Open it up, perfect iMac box on the inside. Open that up, and I'm getting the machine out, and I put the keyboard and the mouse out on my desk, and I pull the iMac out of the box, and I lay it on the bed, because you have to remove this outer wrapping on the screen, and I slide it out, and it's facing away from me, and I didn't think anything about it, and I set it on my desk and turned it around, and the 17-inch screen had been cracked from the outside in. It had almost perfect line down the middle, and I didn't even power the machine on because there's no display, and I'd be afraid if it's cracked from the inside, you'd be afraid something else is broken in there too, and so there's that disappointment because that happened. That realization happened maybe 20 or 30 minutes after I left the door from getting it from the FedEx guy, and What was bad was I immediately called Apple. Apple tech support in the past has been great. It's just an issue of, getting on the phone, going through their little rigmarole, and they usually issue a replacement or other piece almost immediately. Well, I get on the phone. Now, because this is a developer box, I have to call Apple developer, not the regular Apple tech support. And they go, well, did you talk to tech support? I said, well, no. Well, you got to talk to tech support because you need a case number. So they transfer me to tech support. I go, okay, we'll get on with this. I'm on with tech support for about 20 minutes. Tech support guy goes, well, I'm done here. Here's your case number. I need to transfer you to the Apple store so they can issue you an RMA and issue a new box. I'm thinking, okay, another person, maybe 20 minutes, maybe 40 minute experience here. So I get transferred over to that person. And this person, I mean, everybody was helpful and nice up to this point. This person, she asked me for my order number and the case order number. She can't find anything. Well, they transferred me back to commercial sales as opposed to being the business and developer sales. So this lady figures this out, ships me back to developer sales, and I get this guy named Derek. Now, Derek and I didn't have an issue until I asked a simple request, and he told me it was not possible. And the issue was, I realized this guy's a staffer. He doesn't have the ability to put in there or make a policy change to overnight me the replacement machine, because I'd already packed up my developer box, moved my code off, fit, reformatted it. I didn't want to have to reload that machine to work on that machine anymore, knowing that something new was coming in a week or 2 weeks, if it was going to take that long. And I asked to speak to his manager, you know, and I explained the whole thing to him. I said, look, I know you don't have the ability to make this decision, but let me speak to your manager, because he will. And he goes off and says, I don't have a manager. I am the supervisor. And I said, well, every supervisor has a supervisor. Let me speak to him. And it kind of went downhill from there. And what ended up happening is he gave me this complaints email address that I sent a complaint to after getting off the phone with him. And I sent a complaint to Apple Developer Connection saying, look, my box was broken. You guys need to ship me a new one as soon as possible. Well, come 6 o'clock that night, I get a call from a lady who can do what needs to be done. So it goes back to the old adage of the squeaky wheel gets oiled the soonest. And what's relevant about that is right now, there's a lot of pod show hosts who are having problems with their brand new high-res PowerBook G4s because they have a sound bug in them. And people like the Podfather, Adam Curry, have not been able to use these to do their podcasts any longer. And some of them have switched to, you know, that Windows technology just to get the job done. And Apple has kind of slow rolled it. Guys, you got to become squeaky wheels. Call them up. Tell them to give you a new MacBook Pro. That's my advice. But that's really my iMac experience. Now, going back to my informal iMac Core Duo review, because I haven't really had a chance to test a whole lot out on this. It's really a smooth box with a smooth presentation. The coolest thing about it, well, there's two really cool things about it. Having your iSight camera built into the box makes video chatting and playing with, they have a picture app that is really cool. It's called Photo Booth, and you can pull it up and you can do like Andy Warhol like filters to create these interesting photographs of yourself, and you can use them as your login screen pictures or your desktop picture, or you can send them to people in email. And it's kind of a cool little toy. Of course, iChat AV, without an iSight camera, you lose the AV part, which is probably the least expensive commercial version of multi-person video conferencing available without using a bridge or some kind of commercial application. And then the other thing that's really cool about it is it comes with a remote, and it has this new thing that's coming out on all of Apple's computers called Front Row. And it has been out in the last revision of the iMac G5 had the same functionality, but I had never seen it because my G5 came out in the original batch. The Front Row is really an ingenious device by Apple. It's kind of a wrapper around iPhoto, iTunes, and the DVD player. But what's cool about it is if you go into the video section, which will play all the video content you can get out of the iTunes Music Store, it actually goes out to the internet and will download all of the latest movie trailers off of the iTunes Music Store. And what is cool, and I haven't heard anybody say anything about this, is this really, I would bet $100 steak dinner that this is where Steve Jobs and Apple are planning on enabling IPTV and making the computer not just something to do homework and some business things on, but really, really make it the core of your entertainment system. Because if they take this and we see an Intel-based iMac come out with a 30-inch screen or a 23-inch screen, you know, and offer this ability to do downloaded TV or TV streaming all over the internet, or, you know, and it's already there with downloading shows in the iTunes Music Store, now you have the remote, sit in your bed, sit on the couch, and watch all this. It's really kind of cool to see this, but nobody's even mentioned Front Row as being the, you know, the place where this is really moving. And I firmly believe that, having been a big Apple user and a big fan of Steve Jobs over the years, it's cool to watch the minute things that get you to this endpoint. And the experience is so fluid that, one, as a user, you don't really think about it when you bring up Front Row and you start playing with it. But also, it's so much smoother than the Windows Media Center experience so far. There's not a whole lot of, you know, this remote has 5 buttons on it. One's a menu button, one moves you up and down in menus, one moves you forward and back, and one is the enter button. I mean, there's no... You get on a Windows Media Center PC, you better have a wireless mouse and your keyboard available and have these things ready to go just to kind of at least get the same functionality. But it's definitely not the experience. This is more like actually sitting down at a TV and just flipping through channels. So, it's really cool. That's all I have for tech this week. I do have one other thing. And I'll list this in the show notes. But on the internet, I found this guy who had a cool Mac set up at home. And he put a picture of his Mac setup out on his Flickr site. He is a amateur photographer. And it was just phenomenal to see. I mean, it was at least $30,000 or $40,000 worth of equipment in his home studio. I'll let you guys take a look. Let us know what you think about it by sending us an email at gizmosapiens@gmail.com. And we'll turn it back over for the next segment.
Music.
Well, here we are again for our Gizmo Sapiens Show 2 music segment. We're going to have Vince here in a minute talk about progressive rock and what it is. But he wanted me to kind of introduce first how we get our music for our podcast. And there's two places we get our music. Well, basically two. One is from the PodSafe Music Network. It is basically to replace the music industry for indie artists who want to release their music under their control. And thankfully for us, according to the agreement we signed with the PodSafe Network, we can use that as podcasters as long as we give credit back to the artists. And then that acts as the marketing arm for this kind of music industry. The other place we can get it is we, you know, like everybody else, we're allowed to play so many promos of so many seconds of a song that is copyrighted. And again, that acts as free advertising for those folks, even though they don't appreciate it. The artists do. The RIAA does not, because we're not paying them anything. And then actually there's other people who are out there outside of the PodSafe Music Network who we occasionally might touch to get music from, that they've given their music out in a Creative Commons license and with the same type of expectation that, you know, we will credit them back and give them, you know, a show link in our show notes. So here's Vince with What is Progressive Rock?
Thanks, Chris. As you say, I did go out to our normal sources and look for music. As you might have noticed from the show notes of this show for PodSafe for Gizmo Sapiens number 2, basically did go out and take a look at some music and was going to try to pick a couple of different cuts that I could do a review and hopefully expose people to some new music and some good tunes and so forth. And something really interesting happened, and it's not the first time this has happened to me. I went out to the category or genre of progressive rock, and I don't know, there's maybe 100 tunes or something out there. And I started listening. I listened to the first track. Doesn't really sound like progressive rock to me. Listen to the second, third, so forth. And it turns out that out of about 15 different tracks that were out there that I had a chance to listen to, I would say one was solidly on the ground of progressive rock and maybe two others that were sort of borderline questionable. and then a whole bunch of other music that really didn't have anything to do with prog rock, as it's called. So I started thinking about this. I'm like, well, okay, what's going on here? And there's really a couple of explanations. One is, and as you said, this is a method for new artists or existing artists in some cases to promote their work and to get it out so people can listen to it. And I guess the way this is set up, if you're the artist, you kind of get to pick what genre your music belongs in. And I can understand an artist trying to get their sound out there, picking, you know, multiple categories, just so that when people go out and look for a certain kind of music, they'll get exposed to that particular artist.
Kind of like cross-posting the news groups, except with music categories.
Exactly. So that's one explanation. The other explanation is, and this certainly has part to do with it, is that it's really kind of fuzzy exactly what progressive rock is. You know, if we talked about rap or Caribbean type music or classical, or if we talked about you know, all sorts of different genres and categories and subcategories, it's pretty obvious. I mean, if you hear a country song, you know that it's country. Although I have to admit, even in that genre, some of the more popular country, and of course you're more expert in this area than I am, but there's country songs that, you know, the boundary between country and pop music is kind of getting a little fuzzy.
Yeah, definitely.
So anyway, I was taking some notes, and I noticed Molly was over at the computer typing in a search for what is prog rock, and I had to laugh because one of the descriptions is what prog rock is not. And in fact, I have a list of what prog rock is not, and it does kind of give you an idea that, yeah, prog rock is a little bit hard to define, but let me tell you what it isn't as a starting point. Progressive rock is not background music. It would be a horrible choice to put it on at a party or something where you're trying to have conversation and so forth. Progressive rock is a demanding type of music from a certain aspect that it really wants you to turn down all of the, you know, turn the phone off and close the door and turn the TV off and really clear your mind and sit down with the intent purpose of really getting into the music. So from that standpoint, it kind of shares some similar qualities to, say, certain jazz, certainly classical music.
Yeah, definitely.
Other things that prog rock are not, other aspects could clearly not be part of progressive rock: you can't dance to it. And the reason for that is progressive rock typically has dynamic changes, it has tempo changes, it has complete change, a total change of feel, in that you could almost describe it as being multiple songs spliced together. And so one way to describe this is as a musical suite versus a single song. Another thing that's common about progressive rock, although it's, you know, these aren't hard and fast rules, these are kind of guidelines to give you a feel for what it is, they tend to be long. And it's interesting, progressive rock really had its 15 minutes of fame, if you will, in the early 70s. Bands like Emerson, Lake and Palmer, Yes, Genesis, Jethro Tull, a lot of different bands. And it's actually said that some people hated progressive rock so badly that there was a big reaction to it, a kind of counterculture. In fact, there's a lot of people who believe that punk music was actually a direct result of the people who absolutely hated progressive rock and said, look, that stuff, you know, I don't know what you're doing with cellos and flutes and all kinds of crazy world music and all that. You know, let's get back to the raw, kind of energetic sort of original rock.
Well, that would kind of go along with what I said in our show number one about, even in classical music, and, you know, classical is kind of a misnomer because it's really a bunch of periods of time and the music for these 100, 200 year periods that start with one composer and end with another. But most of the music was commissioned because these guys had to make enough money to feed their families. And so a lot of it was dance. And so, you know, music made for music's sake, which, you know, progressive rock sounds like, is because if you have to sit down and listen to it and concentrate on the music to catch the nuances that really make it special, then, you know, it would make perfect sense that punk rock, which was mainly to do this thrash type dancing to, you know, straight what when I worked at the music studio, we called the disco beat, you know, is everything's in four and it's just variations of four beats and things like that. That would make perfect sense.
Absolutely. And, you know, there's something really interesting about music, and that's why people are so passionate about it, is that it has a definitely has an emotional component to it. And, for example, have you ever seen the series? It's called Now That's What I Call Music.
No, I actually haven't seen those.
I don't know how many CDs are out, but it's one of those things where when I look at the track listing of that particular series, there's a little voice inside my head that says, now that's what I call a waste of time. You know, sorry, and I don't mean to, you know, if it happens to be your favorite music, I don't mean to be picking on anybody, but here's the point. If you grew up, it seems like the music that was popular or the music that you listened to when you were at a certain period in your life, probably high school, early 20s, something like
well,
that.
They say that the period from when you're about 16 to 25, which is late high school and through college, is the music you listen to and that you attach yourself to becomes kind of the majority of what forms your musical tastes later in life. You know, after that point, most people don't deviate from what they listen to then. And I could say, you know, even with myself, that's when I started to really get into country music was when I was about 16. And, you know, I still listen to it today.
So absolutely. And you know, just to give you an example, someone who was a teenager in the 50s, you know, it's Chuck Berry, it's Elvis, it's doo-wop kind of music. That's rock and roll to them. And if they hear Jimi Hendrix playing, you know, Purple Haze, that's not rock and roll. Now, if you were a teenager in 1969 and Jimi Hendrix was playing Purple Haze, it's like, wow, this is the best stuff ever.
Well, that's kind of funny you bring that up. Molly and I were having that conversation earlier today because I'm an only child, and so was not influenced by people out or, you know, siblings who were older who were listening to contemporary music at that time. And although my parents listened to contemporary music, when you get into the late 70s, when you get into the 70s, the music that I gravitate towards too is what they liked, which was the Eagles and that Southern rock sound, you know. And Molly, on the other hand, what was it we were talking about? Which band?
We were talking about Seals and Crofts, Summer Breeze. I have a remix of it. And that just reminds me of, I don't even know who, it would either be Vince or Tim, which is my brothers. And I just remember, to me, it's like an emotional snapshot of the past. It captures your, yes it does, it captures your I don't know, it's like a post-it note of a time period stuck in your brain. It just bring, if you hear that song, it brings everything back. Or it can, not necessarily, but at least, you know, it might remind you of a person, a place you were at, or time period, or emotions that you experienced that you're going through, you know, at that time growing up or whatever. But usually to me, that's what I was talking about earlier anyway.
Well, it was kind of that way in the studio too, is the songs that I wanted to record for myself were all the songs, and this, they thought it was hilarious. Billy, who owned the studio and was the producer for Clavier Audio Arts, thought it was great because the things that I was interested in, I would sing the saddest songs you could possibly find, and I would have the biggest grin on my face while doing it. And he couldn't imagine how, but you know, it to me, what made me happy was anything that could elicit such an emotional gut response. And today, that's how I still categorize most of the best music, is something that gives a gut response, whether it's you know, sad or happy or, you know, even if it makes you mad.
And that's right to the point, Chris. You know, there's a lot of different reasons why people listen to music. There's a lot of different circumstances. Maybe you just want background music. Maybe you want something on while you're in the car. But for me, if I'm really focusing in on the music, I want it to be interesting. And for me, that means it can't be you know, the same basic pattern, even if it's the best guitar riff ever created or the best, you know, most singable lyrics that you could think of, if it's just the same pattern over and over, I'm probably going to lose interest. And so prog rock for me, the best of prog rock anyway, is music that I really get emotionally attached to. It's like when you finish this, it's like, you know, wow, oh my gosh, you really felt something, it moved you. And certainly there's certain types of classical music that people experience that. Some people are really into opera. Me personally, I'm not into it, but I can understand how some people really get enjoyment out of that. So anyway, just to try to get back to this basic idea, progressive rock, like I say, and by the way, it's also known as art rock is another name for it. I have heard it called classical rock, not to be confused with classic rock, which is just more of a time period, but basically has big dynamic changes from very soft to very, you know, very soft passages to really big orchestral type movements. It has tempo changes, has interesting use of different instruments. Typically we'll have keyboards, piano, vocals, acoustic guitar, electric guitar, sometimes acoustic bass, a wide range of instruments. And again, to the chagrin of some people, it does seem to be long pieces. And just to give you an idea for to use one specific example, the band Yes is pretty much cited as the most commercially successful progressive rock band that's ever existed. Not that I'm so much focusing in on the commercial side, because, you know, that's one way of measuring things. But then again, just because you're commercially successful doesn't mean you're actually any good. I think there's plenty of examples that everybody can
definitely
for that. So anyway, one of probably the two favorite albums that I can think of from Yes, Fragile, which is when Rick Wakeman came on board, you know, just a wizard on keyboards, and Close to the Edge. And a really good friend of mine who I used to play in a garage band with, Alan, I think it was for my birthday, brought over this album, Close to the Edge. And it was one of those, again, you know, with the long suites, an entire side of one album, you know, maybe 25, 30 minutes, was one song, basically. And I listened to it, and it was really strange, really different, really hard. You know, if you probably heard this term about music being accessible or not, I would say for the first time listener, Close to the Edge is not accessible. You're going to be like, okay, what are you trying to do here, guys? What's this all about? And I have to admit, for some people, if they listen to it 50 times, they might not get any closer to it than the first. But I listened to it, and it probably took me, I don't know, four or five listens. And it just clicked. It's just like I understood what the band was trying to do, where the music was going, why there were parts that were really intense and really involved, extremely busy, and then really mellow, subtle kind of things. And it's that contrast, I think, that really makes it very, very interesting. And, you know, I really liked your point about people locking in that certain age period of their life, and they tend to have the tendency to want to listen to the same kind of music the rest of their lives. And I would say music is such a gift that if you typically listen to, no matter what kind of music it is, I would say, you know, just for the heck of it, go out to the library, or there's all kinds of great internet radio stations and so forth. Try something else on. Try some different music, and, you know, give it a couple minutes. And see what you think. You might actually find out that, you know, there's some music in this other category that I never normally listen to. Hey, I really like this stuff.
That's cool. Yeah, having gone through college in a music program, you know, I was exposed to a lot of things. And a lot of things I definitely did not like and I will never like to this day. Some things I grew to tolerate. And then I found some things that kind of like what you're saying about progressive rock. You know, just these little nuggets of composer here and there that had this really interesting music that, you know, kind of spoke to me. And that's really what music is about. If you remember the movie Awakenings, and they're trying to get these people who are catatonic to feed themselves, and the one orderly figured out, well, this guy, if you put on Hendrix, he'll feed himself, and if you put this music on for this other guy, he'll do it. So music definitely speaks to people, and it's different types of music.
Absolutely. Well, just to give our listeners a couple of ideas, if you're at all intrigued and you have never checked out progressive rock, we might as well start with the big name. Go ahead and check out Fragile, the album Fragile by Yes. It's dated somewhat, being, I don't know, 25, 30 years now since that album came out. But give that a listen. You'll probably get a kick out of the fact that Wakeman was using some period synthesizers, which sound pretty much primitive by today's standard. But
monophonic Moogs.
Yeah, absolutely. But anyway, that's a good introduction just to kind of get a feel. And by no means does that, you know, represent the entire genre of progressive rock, but it'll give you an introduction. Emerson, Lake and Palmer, another great example. If you want to go jump in both feet and really get immersed in this, get Brain Salad Surgery. That will definitely open your eyes, or you'll love it or hate it, I suspect. If you're interested in something more contemporary, and I will tell you, some of the contemporary bands have incorporated some of the metal sound into it. If you like some metal, but you don't want to hear a constant metal cuts that are, you know, 5 minutes long, just pure metal type of music. Dream Theater is an awesome choice. Probably the king of progressive rock by today's standards of a contemporary band, and unfortunately they have had some members change and so forth recently, but there's a band called Spock's Beard from the U.S. Well, actually it's made up from members of the U.S. And Europe. Couple different albums there. Really interesting stuff that should give you a good introduction to some progressive rock. So what I'm going to do, Chris, is I'm going to go back out. I'm going to endeavor to plow through as many tunes as I need to actually find some good examples of progressive rock that are available now. And hopefully by next show or the one after that, we can actually play some cuts and give our listeners an idea of what we're talking about here.
Well, I'm definitely looking forward to hearing it. I actually, until you'd mentioned it, other than knowing who Yes was, I've never really listened to progressive rock. Again, that wasn't my bag growing up. So, but I'd like to hear what it really is, because I think a lot of people will confuse. Well, like you said, that I think people are confused what progressive rock is. I think you ask a lot of people when they think progressive rock, and you explain to it that, you know, you'll have a mixture of traditional rock instruments with acoustic instruments and cellos and string sections and all this, and people start thinking Mannheim Steamroller and Trans-Siberian Orchestra, and that's not it either. You know, those are kind of poppy ways of introducing classical music, you know, which takes us back to the Boston Pops and Fiedler and I forget the series of CDs they put out that did that same thing.
Well, it's really interesting that you mentioned Mannheim Steamroller, because at some point, we're going to open the can of worms that's called New Age music. And in fact, if you take the discussion of New Age music, progressive rock music, and then another one, which is fusion, which is sort of, fusion is actually the combination of traditional jazz and rock music. Boy, you want to talk about blurry lines. It's really, it gets really tough for some of these bands to differentiate. Okay, what's fusion? What's prog? What's New Age? I guess it doesn't really matter that it has, you know, that you can clearly define what a certain genre is. And of course, there's actually now a whole list of subgenres of prog, just like, for example, progressive metal, which is progressive rock, but it has that heavy guitar metal sound to it that's built in. So I guess the best thing that we can say to kind of conclude this whole segment is, there's just excellent, you know, awesome music out there. And if you typically only listen to what's on the radio, you're not going to hear it. If you typically only listen to one kind of music, you're not going to hear it. So, whatever whatever method you want to use. In fact, I have a suggestion. If you want to try, if you have an internet, high bandwidth internet connection, you might want to go out to www.morrow, it's morrow.com. And that's actually, believe it or not, it's actually from Paris, France. And they do all progressive rock. I can't say that I love everything that they play, but of all the stations I've listened to online, morrow.com's the best progressive rock that I've found. And so that would be another place to check it out.
And we'll put that link in our show notes, morrow.com.
It's just morrow.com.
Okay. Well, let's move on to some actual music reviews. Vince will get to control most of the music reviews next week, since he'll be endeavoring to find progressive rock that is worthwhile to play. But I'm going to do a couple of songs, and then Molly's going to go through some more mainstream music. The first song I'm going to do is by a country artist named Josh Turner, who I have a lot of respect for because he is a graduate of Belmont University, and went through their music program, and has made it big, which oddly enough is really difficult if you have a background in music to get into commercial music with artists or with record companies and things like that. It just doesn't happen. You usually end up being what they call a session player or a studio musician because you're consistent and you're good. But he has a new album out, came out last week. You can preview the whole album out on iTunes. His name is Josh Turner, and it's called Your Man. And I'm going to play the title track cut, a preview of the title track cut from iTunes.
The strong, I can't believe how much it turns me on just to be your man. There's no hurry, don't you worry, we can take our time. Come a little closer, let's go over what I had.
Yeah, Josh has kind of become the, how do you want to say it? He's the Barry White of country music right now. You know, got the low voice, and you know, women tremble when he talks and sings. So it's kind of it's a good song, but it's a great album. I definitely would recommend him. And the other person we're going to do is this one of those odd people who puts out music under Common Creative or the Creative Commons license and lets us use him in podcasts. And his name's Jonathan Coulter. You can go to his website, www.jonathancoulter.com, and download probably 30 tracks of music that he's all created himself. And the first track I'm going to do is he did a remake of Sir Mix-a-Lot's song Baby Got Back, but it's phenomenal. Nobody could ever make a remake of that song except this way.
LA face with the Oakland booty.
I like big butts and I cannot lie. You other brothers can't deny. When a girl walks in with an itty bitty waist and a round thing in your face, you get sprung. Your pretty picture. My homeboys tried to warn me, but that butt you got makes me so horny. Ooh, rumpled smooth skin. You say you wanna get in my pants. Use me, cause you ain't that average groupie. I've seen them dancing to hell with romancing. Cause she's sweat, wet, got it going like a turbo vet. Tired of magazines saying flat butts are the thing. Take the average black man and ask him that. She gotta pack much back. So fellas, yeah, fellas, yeah, has your girlfriend got the butt? Tell her to shake it, shake it, shake that healthy butt. Baby got
sisters, I wanna get with ya. I won't cuss or hit ya, but I gotta be straight when I say I wanna. Till the break of dawn, baby, got it going on. A lot of simps won't like this song, 'cause them punks like to hit it and quit, and I'd rather stay and play. 'Cause I'm long and I'm strong and I'm down to get the friction on. So ladies, ladies, if you wanna roll in my Mercedes, then turn around and stick it out. Even white boys got to shout. Toss it and they leave it, and I pull up quick to retrieve it. So Cosmo says you're fat. Well, I ain't down with that, 'cause your waist is small and your curves are kicking. And I'm thinking about sticking to the beanpole dames and the magazines. You ain't it, Miss Thing. Give me a sister, I can't resist her. Red beans and rice didn't miss her. Some knucklehead tried to diss, 'cause his girls are on my list. He had game, but he chose to hit 'em, and I pull up quick to get with 'em. So lady, yeah, if the buddy's around, yeah, and you want a triple X roll down, yeah, dial 1-900 Johnny C and kick them nasty thoughts, baby.
That was Baby Got Back by Jonathan Coulter. That would be the white guy, white man's overbite version of the song. I know Vince has something to say about this.
I liked it, Chris. I think of everything that you've played so far, I really enjoyed that number. I did. In fact, it reminds me of a couple of things. There's a band called The String Cheese Incident. That's really their name. They did a remake of a Snoop Dogg Dog song, which is very similar to what you played here, as far as the feel of it. And I have to mention, as far as these remixes and sort of genre switching or whatever you want to call it, there's a band. Unfortunately, I don't know the name of these guys, but they're Canadians, I'm pretty sure. They actually did a remake of the entire Pink Floyd, The Wall album in bluegrass. The whole thing in bluegrass.
Well, it kind of funny you mentioned that. If you go out, one of the podcasts I listen to is Wichita Rutherford, and he's been involved with this guy named Van Heffer, and they have on their video podcast, they have these, I don't know, is it five or six minute shows where it's about the life of Van Heffer. And this month on iTunes, and the first Tuesday in February, they're going to release the album, and Van Heffer is a bluegrass artist with a really good bluegrass band behind him, and they do only Ozzy Osbourne songs in bluegrass. But he sings and dresses as an Elvis impersonator.
Should make for an interesting show, I would say.
We'll definitely review that. I'm sure that I might be coerced into buying that album by my other side.
Chris, one thing that while we were listening to that tune that you had queued up there, I had Molly go out to Mara.com, and they do have some album artwork out there, and I was just speaking with Molly. We'll have to make that a topic for one of our upcoming podcasts. Another interesting aspect of some forms of music is it's almost a lost art these days, but album cover art.
Yeah. Well, definitely. We'll definitely discuss that in a future show. I'll take it from the digital side, and you guys can take it from the old analog vinyl side. Because there's definitely different thought patterns about our artwork today.
Absolutely.
Now we're going to turn it over to Molly, and she's going to talk about some more mainstream popular music than I normally talk about. So, have at it.
Hi. I'm just going to talk about some... Yes, my mic is on. I'm going to talk about some more fluffy songs. They're not quite so intense. I guess I was just in a happy mood this week. So the first one I started with was actually one of the free ones from the music.podshow.com site. And I went through many, many songs in different genres. And just trying to find anything that I just kind of hit me and sounded interesting. For some reason, this one just caught my eye, or ear, rather. It's a dance song. It's called Waiting Takes Time, and it's by Josh Woodward.
Pack your bags and leave this town. I don't want to see you coming round. No, I don't want to waste my precious time again. With a Star Trek sticker on your Cadillac.
Waiting Takes Time by Josh Woodward, and I hope you enjoyed it. I just thought it was peppy and lively and fun. You really should have seen my three children dancing around to the song. It was hilarious. It sort of reminds me of the 80s type music. So we hope you enjoyed that. Another song we have for you is by Natasha Bedingfield, and there's two songs off the same album. The album title is called Unwritten, And there's the title cut song, of course, unwritten on that album. And then there's also a song called These Words. Also, in parentheses would be I Love You, I Love You. And you've probably heard it before. You may have seen the video on VH1 with the walking boom boxes. And it's just sort of fun and peppy. And
they have videos on VH1.
So here it is. That actually was the mix of These Words, I Love You, I Love You. And I actually like both versions. I think there's actually several mixes of that song. But I prefer, personally, the original song to that one. The other title cut song, Unwritten, we're going to play in just a second here. That's also got a video on VH1. Yesterday, it was at number 3 on the iTunes Today's Top Songs. It fell... must have been sometime early this morning because I was up really late doing this. And it's now on the number 4 spot. But here is Unwritten. Inhibitions feel the rain on your skin. No one else can feel it for you. Only you can let it in. No one else can speak the words on your lips. Drink yourself in words unspoken. Live your life with arms wide open. Today is where your book begins. And that was Unwritten, the title cut from the Unwritten album by Natasha Bedingfield, currently at number 4 on the iTunes Today's Top Songs. That song was released, interestingly enough, as a single before the album was released in Britain. And the album, by the way, debuted at number 1 on the British charts, and it was released in U.S. July 2005. Another interesting thing about Natasha Bedingfield is that she's originally from New Zealand, but grew up in Southeast London. And she has a sort of rhythmic pop sound in the two songs we played previously. And she's gotten platinum record sales in Britain and numerous Brit awards. So she's doing pretty well. Also, that song can be heard in a couple movies, maybe more than I've even found, but... at least in The Ice Princess. If you have any kids, especially girls, you probably know, younger girls, what I'm talking about. That's a Disney movie about a girl, a real brainy girl, who decides she might want to do ice skating as she's doing a science project. So it's in there, and it's also in the Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants soundtrack. And, of course, that's the movie that stars, if I can remember her name, well, I'll get it later. But anyway, that's a really good movie about 4 teenage girls that are best friends, lifelong best friends, and they're at a point in their lives. It's their 16th summer, and for the first time ever, they're going to separate ways. They find a pair of pants, secondhand pants, at a store that magically fits everybody, every one of them, perfectly. And so they get this great idea to stay in touch by wearing these pants. Each girl's going to wear the pants for 1 week and then ship them on to the next girl and see what happens. It sounds really stupid, I'll admit it, but it's really interesting. It's a sort of coming of age, experiencing life, love and loss kind of adventure story. So I'm actually just went right into the movies, jumping around a little bit here. But we'll let you hear the clip from that in just a second. But basically, I thought it was really good at... it's funny. It can make you cry. Here we go. My favorite actress in it has to be America Ferrera. She plays Carmen. She's in other movies. I can't think of anything right this second, but pretty well known. It's just an adventure comedy, drama, sort of all the things together. And it's pretty much a chick flick, I would say. Personal opinion. It's originally released in 2005, and it's now on DVD. You might want to check it out. And here's the clip from that.
We were best friends and about to spend our first summer apart.
How about this one? You try the one.
But a pair of pants,
ta-da,
would keep us together.
You think that a pair of jeans that fits all three of you is going to fit all of this?
This summer, We'll share them equally, and they'll travel among us.
I think she's getting too much sun.
We may have been wrong about the pants. The one time I wore them, I almost drowned.
I don't speak Greek.
We'll have to work on that, won't we?
Maybe you need an assistant.
Look, I have my own friends. Even though they left me here to rot this summer, I'm not looking for any new ones.
Bill Gates, he ran a lemonade stand.
You don't know that.
Yeah, I do. I read it in a magazine.
Where did you read that?
In a magazine.
Who's that?
It's against the rules to have flings with the coaches.
Pick it up!
Hi.
Hi.
I play for it.
So I've noticed.
I haven't spent more than 4 straight days with you since I was 10.
Who is that? Your neighbor?
Actually, I have a surprise for you. We're getting married.
Oh dear, we can dig up some extra fabric. Just tell everybody that Carmen's Puerto Rican. But unlike you and your daughter, she has a booty!
I feel like some outsider who doesn't even belong to you anymore. Are you ashamed of me?
Why did you leave? Why did you have to go?
Rhythm, I'll make you brave.
We've got a prize sticker on your forehead.
Swear, you must never see this boy again.
All my life, everybody's seen me a certain way. And what do you see?
I'm mad at my dad. Why is that so hard for me to say?
I have no problem being mad at you.
Because you know I'll always love you no matter what.
Okay, that was the clip or trailer from the Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants.
Chick flick.
It is, but I really enjoyed it. I think if you have young girls, or if you are a girl.
I made it through 50 minutes. It was a record. It's kind of like that guy who does the commercial before he can get in and get the Bud Light.
No, Chris liked it. He's always likes that stuff. He's just trying to cover and see macho. But anyway,
okay, it's my metrosexual
moment. The next movie
moment.
Is Nanny McPhee. That's a pretty recent one. It's in the theaters now. It's a family / comedy / fantasy. It's about an hour and 38 minutes. It's rated PG for mild thematic elements with some rude humor and brief language. Basically, Emma Thompson plays a governess using magic to change and shape the behavior of 7 very mischievous brown children, the brown children, in her care. Colin Firth plays Mr. Brown, and he's the widower and father of said children. These children manage to run off all of the previous 17 nannies with various pranks, practical jokes, and stunts. They assume this will be no different, but they're wrong. And I thought it was really charming. I just thought it was funny. Our kids thought it was funny. It's just a charming movie that everyone can go see, which you don't really have too many of those options anymore. At least we don't. It's also, I found out, based on the collected tales of Nurse Matilda by the author Christiana Brand. I believe I said that right. So if you're interested, you know, if you have anybody that would like to, if they see the movie or you'd like to read the books first, or, and they're out in the 60s, so... Anyway, we'll hear a trailer from that, and then we'll talk a little bit more about it. So here comes the trailer for Nanny McPhee.
Once upon a time is how these stories usually begin. However, this particular tale begins with...
Oh dear. Oh dear, oh dear, oh dear.
Meet the brown children. They're motherless.
Who him? Who them?
They're ruthless. And for the 17th time, they're nannyless.
We got rid of her in 3 days, 8 hours, and 47 minutes.
That's the final straw.
There is only one solution for children like these. And it will not be pretty.
Good evening. I am Nanny McPhee.
We got rid of the last 17 nannies. We're getting rid of this one, too.
Blimey.
The nanny is a witch.
Do they go to bed when they're told?
I can't get up!
Do they say please?
In what context?
Please make your acquaintance. I'm Oglington Fartworthy.
She's coming!
Dear me, measles medicine.
It's moving!
Open wide.
But now, their evil Aunt Adelaide...
Your children are out of control. I shall relieve you of one.
...is taking charge.
No! The house will be taken. Some of you will be put into the workhouse. Some will be put into the care of others.
It's our mother's rattle. Give it back.
I'm your mother now.
And their only hope...
Nanny McPhee, we need you.
...is to say the magic word.
Please.
May I be of assistance?
From Universal Pictures...
Help us, Nanny McPhee. Tell us what to do.
Think. You are very clever.
Comes a new kind of fairy tale.
That was my idea. I mean, my fault.
About an ordinary family.
You cannot take any of my children away from me.
In need of a little magic. Emma Thompson. Colin Firth. Nanny McPhee.
Okay, so that was our trailer for Nanny McPhee, out in theaters now. If you have kids, you'd probably really want to at least check out, you know, looking into it. Really cute. You may want to warn, if you have children like we do, you may want to warn your children that, you know, don't do or say anything in this movie that the children do. A lot of kids understand that. A lot of children don't. But anyway, I believe the first thing that happens is they're eating. Don't they eat the baby? Eat the baby. And basically, they hid the baby in a big pot of, you know, something that was being made by the cook. It's not hot or anything like that, so it doesn't sound as bad as, you know, they're just trying to scare off the nannies and everything. But it's really just silly. But Nanny McPhee has to teach 5 lessons during her stay, and some of them are not just for the kids. I thought it was both hilarious and heartwarming. Emma Thompson, who plays Nanny McPhee, also co-wrote the screenplay. My favorite quote from Nanny McPhee herself was, "When you need me but do not want me, then I will stay. But when you want me but do not need me, then I have to go." So it was really charming. She is a little bit scary in her appearance, a little bit ugly. But one theme that I really liked from the movie was just that, you know, and I think kids need to hear this today, is that appearances can be deceiving, or it's what's on the inside that counts. You know, just because something looks one way doesn't mean, just because everything isn't beautiful doesn't mean it's not good or whatever. I think our culture really focuses on beauty and, you know, everything's on the outside, and it's really deeper than that. So anyway, that's my sermon for today. But everyone seems to learn to look closer into people's hearts by the end of the film. It's funny. I just think you should give it a chance, especially if you have children. My family really enjoyed it a lot, and my kids, just in case you're curious, I have 3, and their ages about 9.5, 7, and almost 4. We had 2 girls and a boy, and the boy's the 7-year-old. So I think they'll really like the silly slapstick pranks and the mischievous antics performed by the 7 brown children. So you can give it a shot and just, you know, just remind them. You might want to remind them before you go. If you've got kids like we do, you know, just don't do anything in this film, you know, in that way. But it's funny.
It's not a reminder. It's a threat.
Yeah, maybe it's a threat. But it was fun, so I really enjoyed it. I hope you liked the music we selected this week in the movies. I'm sorry we didn't do more. We only did 1 really recent one, but we, like I said, have 3 children. We were not going to be able to do all the most recent films. We couldn't even afford it if we wanted to. So we're just going to sort of do whatever, you know, sort of hits our fancy. So we'll try to mix it up a bit. But we hope you enjoyed it, and we'll be talking more about that in the next podcast. So,
and before we wrap up, we'll just briefly cover the TV things that are going on. This week on Thursday, we should have Exile Island Survivor. Survivor's supposed to be taking the next new twist, which is one cast member can be sent to this island called Exile Island, where they have to survive for a week by themselves. But on the flip side of that, the Survivor has the option of finding the one thing that can make them win the game on that island, and it's hidden there. So it's a new twist. We'll see how it goes. Maybe it'll be boring like the last couple of seasons of Survivor have been. But we'll let you know. The other thing is Stewie Griffin from The Family Guy is getting his own talk show. It'll be Woo-hoo. An internet-only talk show. And it's still done by Fox. So we're looking forward to that. When we get some more details, we'll have that out. And this is it for show two. Hope to hear some feedback from you at gizmosapiens@gmail.com. And you can get more about us at www.gizmosapiens.com. Thanks a lot.